Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I was reading in Sports Illustrated about Anthony Davis, and he had a quote that blew me away. He was asked, where do you think you rank among players in today's NBA and why? Here's what he said, Aaron. I'm the best in the world. I think I do a lot of things that a lot of players can't do as far as playing a complete game. I can play on the block, play on the perimeter, play defense on both ends, switch 1-5, guard, score the basketball. I want to be the most dominant player in the game, and I'm going to continue to do that. He went on to mention guys like Kawhi, KD, LeBron, Steph, all that, that they're the same, they're great players, they're talented, they're Hall of Famers. But he said he is the best in the world. And he didn't couch it with, you know, everybody thinks they're the best. You know, of course, I got to have that mentality if I'm going to compete with these guys. No, he just came out and said it. I am the best player in the world. And Aaron Torres, I like Anthony Davis. I can't wait to see him and LeBron James together. I think they have a good chance, even though I think the Clippers are a little better right now. I think the Lakers have an excellent chance to win a championship next year, certainly within the next 2 years. But I'm here to tell you today, there is no way that Anthony Davis at this point is the best player in the world. And he's right. He's got all those skills that he mentioned. But the best player in the world, how you compare players, is not a checklist of skills. If we did a checklist of skills between David Robinson and Shaquille O'Neal, you might say David Robinson checked more boxes. But who was better? Shaq, period. Impact. What kind of impact do you have on the game? And as much as I like Anthony Davis, as much as he is a two-way terror, he has yet to impact games the way that these six players, who I have all of them ahead of him. So I got him seventh. LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, James Harden. It's not in an order necessarily. James Harden, Steph Curry, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Anthony Davis has won one playoff series in his life. He's been to the playoffs twice in 7 years. And I know he won it out of New Orleans. But guess what? You have to take some of the blame for why New Orleans wasn't better. You had some talent around you. Jrue Holiday can play. Julius Randle showed he's not bad. At one point, you had Nikola Mirotic, who can shoot. One point, you had DeMarcus Cousins. Rajon Rondo. He had some talent around him. Why wasn't he able to galvanize guys and lead them? And I'll tell you one thing, in today's NBA, Aaron, You have to be able to handle the ball. And that's the one thing everybody I mentioned can do that AD can't. When push comes to shove, they can bring the ball up the court and create their own stuff. Now, AD can create his own stuff. I know he was a guard in high school before he had his growth spurt. But I don't see him, when necessary, bringing it up court and just spreading it out and running everything through himself. So that's why he's not the best in the world.
Well, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Anthony Davis. He made $27 million last year, but apparently he couldn't afford cable because he wasn't watching the playoffs if he thinks that he's the best player, because Kawhi Leonard, all the guys you mentioned, but I think so much of this argument is exactly what you said. You can't come to me with, I'm the best player in the world, when you've won one playoff series your entire career.
Thank you.
In the same year that Kawhi Leonard basically took an organization a country on his back to a championship. Giannis took, and I know Chris Middleton was an all-star, but Giannis was the guy, took that organization to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'll take it a step further, which is something you already addressed. He's not even the best player in his locker room.
Right.
I know LeBron took last season off. I know he was drinking wine on the bench, but he averaged, I looked it up today to make sure those numbers were correct, 38-10 in the finals a year ago, 13 months ago. So I get it. He's a competitor. He's an elite athlete for sure. But you can't tell me you're the best player on the planet when, one, you've won one playoff series. Two, you've only played 70 games more than 70 games twice out of 8 years in your career. I just don't see it. I know he's a competitor. I know he wants to say he's the best, but I just don't buy it.
No, I'm with you. And I like that attitude of, hey, I'm a dog. Like, I want the Lakers to have that attitude when they come out of training camp this year. I don't want to see any, oh, we need this, we need that, we don't have this, we don't have, the coaching's terrible. No, be dogs and go out there and say we're the best. And we're going to win the championship this year. So I like that mentality. But in this case, it's just, there's no evidence to back it up. And Anthony Davis he would have been better served saying, hey, I think I'm the best player in the world. But this is all about winning. And until I win big, then I can't be put on that pedestal. That's my goal. That's where I want to get to. But while I may think it, I've got to prove it to everybody else. That would have been something better to say. And he just can't claim it right now. Like you said, this is how I think you can measure who's better when you're talking about individual players. Because it's very difficult, Aaron, to measure perimeter players versus big men. It's getting a little easier nowadays because, you know, and Davis alluded to this in his press conference with the Lakers, it's kind of positionless basketball to some degree. But there still are differences, big differences between bigs and smalls for the most part. And so you can't – how do you compare a Michael Jordan to a Shaquille O'Neal? You know, a Kobe Bryant to a Hakeem Olajuwon? I think the only way you can do it is impact.
Agreed.
And I don't say that's just number of championships, but impact on the game. That's why I think Steph Curry can rank high. Because you can say what you want. He doesn't D up. He's small. He's not physical. This and that. How has he impacted the game?
You know what I think this might be a byproduct of? I think it's a byproduct of playing in New Orleans, where for 7-8 years, everything he has said has just been gone into the wind. None of it matters. Well, now you're on the big stage with the Lake. You can't just say whatever you want to say and not have it picked apart by guys like us, by people, you know, whether it's you on television, others on television, whatever. I just wonder, I think he just kind of said it without thinking. I can't imagine that he actually believes that. And it's not to say that he's not an incredible player. We all know that he is. As you said, there's probably only a handful of guys, 6, 7, whatever the number is, that are truly better than him. But when you factor in the fact that he does play, he's more of a low post player, and I know he said he's more versatile and all that stuff, but you know, he doesn't handle the ball, he doesn't set up teammates, he doesn't shoot the three particularly well. He's really good at what he does, but to say that he is the best player in this league is preposterous.
Right, because here's the thing. Anthony Davis, as good as he is, and again, he handles the ball well for, you know, a guy his size, and again, he played guard in high school, we get that. But he needs somebody to get him the rock.
Agreed.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James doesn't. Kawhi Leonard doesn't. Kevin Durant doesn't. James Harden, Steph Curry, Giannis, they don't. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and obviously it was a different era, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar actually won the MVP award in a year where they didn't make the playoffs. And then he had two back-to-back years where he didn't make the playoffs with Milwaukee and the Lakers. And the reason, as great as he was, and I have him third greatest player of all time, the reason that could happen to Kareem was because he needed a guard to get him the ball.
Yep.
He was a low post player, obviously, with the sky hook. And AD, while certainly more versatile in this day and age than Kareem, needs a guy to get him the ball. And I think you hit it on the head. That's a great point. We have seen more Anthony Davis interviews, Rachel Nichols on ESPN, Sports Illustrated, the press conference, which obviously that would take place with any team. But he's getting out there more.
Yep.
We're going to see more of Anthony Davis than we ever had. And like you have, and like you said, he's going to have everything he says is going to be picked apart, especially since he's playing with LeBron James.
100%. By the way, I think part of that is why, amongst the many reasons why Kawhi Leonard didn't want to play with the Lakers, didn't want to play with LeBron James. It's for reasons like this. But I don't disagree with anything you've said, Chris. I get it. You're a competitor. You want to, and it is kind of his time to kind of plant his flag as being one of those guys because he really was under the radar in New Orleans. Some of it was his own, I don't want to say fault, but responsibility, not getting his team far into the playoffs. But I understand the concept. He thinks he's great. He wants to be in that conversation. You're just not there yet, though.
So I've got him seventh. Do you have him in your top five?
No, I can't put him in my top five because, I mean, you just think about all the guys that you listed off the top. You know, LeBron, I still think LeBron's elite. I think he's going to have an incredible bounce back year next season where he shows everybody just how good he is and that we all forgot about him. Giannis, obviously the reigning MVP. Kawhi, what he did in this postseason speaks for itself. Kevin Durant, when healthy, speaks for himself. And I'm with you on Steph Curry. I truly am in the sense that I've been critical of him at times. I think he gets a little too much love at times. But what he's done, even this year, even though they didn't win the NBA Finals, what he did in I think it was, what, Game 4, where he put up like 49 points or whatever it was, helping the Warriors sweep the Golden State Warriors, I think those are my clear-cut top five. If you want to argue AD versus Harden, even though Harden has an MVP, I get it, but I'm with you. He's not in the top five.
Yeah, I think you can certainly make an argument AD is better than Harden. But again, impact, Harden has carried teams to great records. You know, they win 50-something games. When Dwight Howard was hurt, they still won. You know, without Dwight Howard, they won. Chris Paul, before, after, they win. Now, they haven't won a title, but they win. And that, you know, he's having more of an impact.
Say what you want about Westbrook.
Anthony Davis.
Say what you want about Westbrook. I mean, I know they haven't gotten out of the first round, but he's gotten his team to the playoffs. He obviously won an MVP, averaging triple-doubles.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him ahead of AD, but you're right. He gets his team to the playoffs year in, year out, which AD has not done.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike D'Antoni made some interesting comments recently about his offense. He said, "We aren't tweaking much. We'll tweak it, but to say you can't win that way is BS." For those who've been under a rock, Russell Westbrook was just traded to Houston for Chris Paul. So now you've got the two most ball-dominant players in the league, two of the most ball-dominant players in history. And in fact, they do each have the highest usage rates for a season, the 1 and 2 in NBA history. They're going to play together. And Mike D'Antoni says, we're going to pretty much play the same way we did last year. Aaron, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think the concept of playing the way that they play, I do think it can work. I'm just not sure it could work with Russell Westbrook because it's exactly,
right.
Yeah, like, you know, and this is, we'll get into Daryl Morey at some point, but like, I think he's a, and I hate to say it, I think he's a math nerd. I don't think he understands the concept.
Well, he is definitely a math nerd. That's not even an insult to him. He would probably tell you that.
Well, I don't think.
He's a math nerd. And that's in vogue in the NBA today. Math nerds.
I guess, yeah. No, I mean, it is, but.
It is. Whether it should be is another question, but it is in vogue.
And who just orchestrated the whole Kawhi Leonard thing? Jerry West, a basketball guy through and through. But
the logo, right. Yeah.
No, I mean, I just, the thing with Morey that I was going to get to is, I get it. I get what his background is. I don't think he has a concept of how puzzle pieces actually fit together on a basketball court. And with the Clippers as an example, Kawhi, Paul George, they play off of each other. Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, the pieces all fit together. And you look at the Rockets, like, yeah, of course D'Antoni isn't going to change anything because he's basically done the same thing since the Phoenix Suns days a decade ago with Steve Nash. But will it work? I don't think so, but I don't necessarily blame him because he is who he is, and he can only go with the players that management gets him. I just don't think the puzzle pieces fit to keep doing it.
Well, I'll quickly address what you said about Daryl Morey, and he is the poster child for analytics. Okay, he's the GM of the Houston Rockets, and the problem with analytics, whether it's baseball or basketball, and I think, look, analytics are a part of your basketball equation. Every NBA front office does, obviously, but should have a strong analytics department, okay?
Sure.
They just shouldn't be running things. Your analytics should not determine every move, okay? Because what analytics don't do is take into consideration the human elements. Chemistry. Is a player cold-blooded under pressure, or will he choke under pressure? Heart, fortitude, character. And Daryl Morey, look, he's a good GM. He's overrated because some people think he's tremendous. And the thing about Daryl Morey is that even though he is the analytics guy, he consistently makes moves that not only disregard analytics, but often go the exact opposite of analytics. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm with it. If Colin Cowherd calls it manalytics. I'm with taking the analytics into consideration, but making moves based on other factors. But his moves are beyond that. Russell Westbrook doesn't fit analytically at all with the Rockets. Chris Paul didn't. Jimmy Butler, who they wanted, didn't. Carmelo Anthony didn't. Dwight Howard didn't. And so that is the situation with Daryl Morey. I heard Colin Cowherd say it. It was a great example. It's like if you're a fashion expert and you dress horribly, you know, it doesn't make sense. But I want to get to Mike D'Antoni and what he said. I will say this and then let you go in and, you know, go comment on it, and then we'll go address the rest of it, what he said. His comment, his second half of his comment, to say you can't win that way, or essentially the way he coaches and his teams play, is BS. I agree with him there. Now, Aaron, I'm in the minority. It may even be a minority of one. I think Mike D'Antoni's a Hall of Fame coach.
Huh.
He hadn't won a title, but Don Nelson is a Hall of Fame coach. He never won a title. And Mike D'Antoni has helped change basketball. Okay, with what he did in Phoenix, 7 seconds or less. Obviously, he's had great success in Houston, even though they haven't won the ring. Now, he's got his warts, don't get me wrong, but I just think he's been a Hall of Fame coach. And I do agree with him that the way his teams play can win championships. Let's not forget, 2 years ago, they were right there. If Chris Paul doesn't get hurt and they're up 3-2 on Golden State, maybe they win that series, and maybe they win the championship. When he was in Phoenix, the year that his players, Amari Stoudemire, Boris Diaw, got suspended against San Antonio, I believe they were up 2-1. But even if they weren't, that was a team, they could have won that series without the suspensions, and the Western playoffs were the championship that year. And really those years, a lot of those years in that era. And so Phoenix would have won that championship, I believe. I think they would have faced maybe New Jersey, the Nets. But they would have won, I believe, a title. So, except for that fight, that brawl, and he didn't keep his players on the bench. So I do agree with him that his style can win titles.
I'm glad you said that. Hall of Fame, not Hall of Fame, I don't know. But I do agree. I think because he hasn't won a championship, like, that's what you use against him to kind of tear down what he's done as
right.
a coach. And I listen, one, his teams are always entertaining. Two, I agree that I think he's ushered in this era where I've even heard him say that in the Phoenix days, they wanted to shoot more threes, but it was so revolutionary at the time that they thought they were crazy for taking 30 or 35
right.
threes. And so now they're at 50, 55, whatever, with the Rockets. But I'm with you in that I do think the style can win. And it was really interesting when you opened the segment. I thought you were going to say, I think he's crazy for saying the style can win, which obviously you weren't. You were saying the combination of Westbrook and Harden. I agree with you. That's also why I was so disappointed in this trade from Houston's perspective, because it seems like, and I hate to keep bringing it back to Daryl Morey, I know we're focused on D'Antoni here, but it seems like every time they're right on the edge, Daryl Morey feels like he has to tinker for the sake of tinkering. And I know that Chris Paul struggled. I know the problems that they had internally in the locker room, but I don't think that they're closer to a championship with Russell Westbrook in place of Chris Paul. I don't think they would have been if they had gotten Jimmy Butler this offseason. And that's what's disappointing to me, is because I do think this style can work. I do think D'Antoni has somehow become an underrated coach because he hasn't won a championship, hasn't made a finals. But I agree that this style can work. I just don't think it's with this particular group of players headlined by Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's why, like you said, I agree with the second half of his statement. This type, you can win this way. But for him to say he's not tweaking anything, they're done. They're done. Houston Rockets fans, you are done. I didn't think you were winning the championship anyway. I think you'll make the playoffs. I think you'll be sexy. I think you'll be must-see TV. I think at times it'll be, you know, people stopping to watch a car accident. You know, you got more talented. Westbrook is better than Chris Paul at this point. But this will not work. The only chance these two players have of playing together and it working, in my view, is if they had something akin to a Golden State type offense, where there was a lot of ball movement, player movement, where Westbrook was moving and cutting and flashing and running along the baseline, and Harden was moving at times, where the ball wasn't sticking. That's where I think it will have the best chance of working. But to not tweak much, not tweak what? Not tweak James Harden having the ball in his hands 40-something percent of the time, dribbling out the clock, and either taking the shot or passing to somebody with the shot clock going down, and then they've got to shoot it. Is Russell Westbrook is about the furthest thing you can get from a spot-up three-point shooter. And if you're not going to tweak much, then that's what you're going to make him. And that's not going to work.
Yeah, and that's why this move was so disappointing to me. And I think I actually texted you and Rob when it went down, because you guys were on air. And, you know, and I think, and this is what's the sad part to me, and it goes back to D'Antoni, is I think this is his last run, right? Because they fired his whole coaching staff.
Right.
They're not going to win this year, to your point. They're going to be fun to watch. They're not going to win. And this guy's 68 years old, and I do think he's going to go down as one of those coaches, maybe like Don Nelson, as you just referenced, Chris, that doesn't get the credit that he deserves, because he was already on thin ice, fair or not, going into the offseason. As I just mentioned, they got rid of the entire coaching staff. And it's not going to work. And I actually feel bad for him, because, again, as a head coach, you can only use the puzzle pieces that are given to you by management. But I don't see any way that this works unless, as you just said, Chris, Russell Westbrook completely changes the way that he plays basketball, because we kind of just saw it with Chris Paul, right? Chris Paul, too many dribbles, wasn't going. It's like, I just don't think it's going to work, and I actually feel bad for D'Antoni, because I think come next April, May, June, he's going to be the fall guy rather than Daryl Morey, rather than James Harden, rather than Russell Westbrook.
No question. And look, James Harden by himself in the D'Antoni offense, we see, is incredibly effective.
Yes.
And he didn't alter his game one iota for Chris Paul. Not one iota. In fact, he became more ball. I haven't checked the usage rates. Rob G, check those. I think he became more ball dominant just from the eye test. And Russell Westbrook by himself would be a terror in Mike D'Antoni's offense. A downhill point guard coming off a high pick and roll with shooters around him at the three-point line. Westbrook would be doing damage. But with James Harden there, that's the problem.
Yep.
Harden's not going to be a spot-up shooter, and it gets to D'Antoni when he says, I'm not going to tweak it. As much as I like him, and obviously I like him, I say it, he's a Hall of Famer. He's a one-trick pony, Aaron.
Sure.
That's his problem. When he went to New York and didn't have the pieces to play the way he wants to play, they were horrible. when he went to the Lakers and didn't have the pieces. He had good pieces. Kobe, Dwight Howard. But he didn't have the guys that fit his system. They weren't good. And it's the same, like, now he's got guys he needs to make some changes. And so that's why I hesitate, not hesitate, don't call him an offensive genius. Great offensive coach, but not a genius because he doesn't adapt to his personnel. And I think there is a way to adapt. That's what made Steve Kerr such a great coach. Mark Jackson was a good coach. That team was a good 50-something win team, second-round playoff team. But Steve Kerr went in there, put in the perfect system for that group of guys, and they went to heights nobody, maybe even themselves, didn't think they could.
And you know what, Chris? Quick aside here. I want to let you know, you asked me a question about James Harden's usage rate. It has gone up each of the last 3 years.
Think of that. You got another ball-dominant, all-star, future Hall of Famer at your side, and your usage rate went up.
Sure. No.
He and Westbrook are buddies, but I hope they're buddies 2 years from now. I mean, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, we all heard KD and Steph. Oh, they're so excited. Yeah, and we saw how quickly that deteriorated. No, and I mean, and that's what I will push back, and maybe it's a conversation we have after the break, but I do think he's a little more adaptable, or he's at least good with getting more out of pieces than maybe he gets credit for. I mean, who was Steve Nash before he played for Mike D'Antoni? The Rockets won 41 games the year before he got there. They won 56 his first year. Second year, they're a game away from going to the NBA
Finals.
Well,
both of those cases, though, he had players that fit his style.
I get it. But
And Nash was a two-time All-Star. Now, you're right. He took him to levels. I mean, he never would have been an MVP. I don't even think he'd be a Hall of Famer without D'Antoni. So I agree with you there.
That's my only pushback. I don't think they're going to win next year. I think he is going to end up being the fall guy. I don't think he gets credit for, listen, if he doesn't have the pieces, you're right, but I do think he gets more out of certain guys than they would get out of themselves or other coaches would get out of them.
Yeah, certain types, I'm with you on that, but we will maybe have to agree to disagree on that one. That never happens on this show.
Really?
We just disagree.
Oh,
we
never
agree to disagree. We just disagree.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
At the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes from now, Rick Bucher will join us. He just wrote a very interesting, insightful article on Bleacher Report about how several GMs were saying that none of the players... Not one. Not Clay, not Kawhi, not KD, not Kyrie. Although Kyrie didn't technically sign a max because he gave a little money to DeAndre Jordan. But none of the players are worth a max contract. All right, so here's what they said. I'm going to read some of the quotes. It's really interesting. Here's a former player who now works as an executive. He was asked to define what a max player is to him. Here's his quote. A leader in the locker room and on the floor. Someone I'm confident and comfortable giving the ball to in late game situations. He's leading my organization on and off the court where we need to go. Guys that I played with, guys that I continue to watch, I want them to get as many dollars as possible. But when we talk about the term max guy, how many of those guys realistically are there? Now, here's another, a general manager, anonymous, of course, on Kawhi Leonard, as far as in regards to max player. Kawhi is great at getting his, but he doesn't elevate anyone. He doesn't rally his team. He does have leadership qualities, but it depends on how you define leader. He's obviously not vocal, and he's not a galvanizer. He does it with his work ethic and by example. Here's another GM from the Western Conference. The other one was from the East on Clay. He says he's a good player, but he's not a leader. He just shows up and hoops. Aaron, I got a lot of stuff to say about these quotes, but first I want to give you the floor.
Yeah, first of all, I want to shout out these two anonymous GMs who are about to soon be anonymous ex-GMs because if you don't think Kawhi and Clay are worthy of max dollars, then honestly, I don't know what league you're watching. And you know, I listen, I get in this utopic, perfect society, your star player has all of these qualities. But just because Kawhi isn't super vocal or KD can be moody or LeBron has off the court interests, it doesn't mean that one, when the light comes on, that they're not ready to play, two, that they can't be the face of your organization, and three, that they aren't worthy of every single dollar that we're paying them. I just think it's a preposterous concept. And if you want to argue about certain other players, that's fine. But certainly Kawhi and even Klay Thompson, I just don't even know how you can make the argument that they're not, whatever the term is, franchise players.
There is no argument. And it makes you wonder, what in the world are some of these guys thinking, and how are they running teams? For yes. A guy to say this about Kawhi Leonard, he doesn't elevate anyone. He doesn't rally his team.
He elevated a whole country, by the
thank
way.
Thank you. He's not a galvanizer. Hold on. He just went to a team that was absolutely shook in the presence of LeBron James. A team that couldn't get out of its own way whenever they saw LeBron James. A team that froze in the presence of LeBron James. And he led that team to a championship. He had no second star in the Big Three era. No second star. All these other teams got to have three superstars and it's the Big Three and all that. And he doesn't even have a second star, and he wins the championship. How is that not lifting other guys, making other guys better, elevating them? Look, Kawhi Leonard is this. Here's how Kawhi Leonard galvanized his team. He went in there as a superstar, listened to the coach, gave the coach respect, bought into the system, didn't complain about what they don't have, didn't complain about being in Toronto, didn't complain about, I want to go to Southern California. He just showed up, kept his mouth shut, was friendly with guys, became friends with guys, led by example, and fit into the system. That's it. And that's all I want. I don't need you to entertain me with comedy or to be the biggest talker and, you know, giving, you know, Newt Rockne speeches. That's all nice if you can do it. But if not, produce on the court. And Kawhi Leonard has done just that. Let's not forget, Aaron, the last time we saw Kawhi Leonard in a Spurs uniform during the postseason, what'd he do? He had the undermanned Spurs up 22 points on the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant. Now, I don't think they would have won that series even if Kawhi had stayed healthy. I actually don't even think they would have won that game. But I don't know. That's just me. The facts say they were up 22 and Kawhi was leading them over a much more talented team. This dude produces. I mean, he's arguably the best player in the world. And who, if he doesn't get a max, who in the world does?
Well, and that was my thought when I read this, is if Kawhi isn't a max player, who is? And it was funny because you mentioned off top that, you know, I've covered a lot of college basketball in my day. And I remember talking to Chris Beard, who's the head coach at Texas Tech. They made the Final Four this year. And I remember asking him about kind of leadership and all that kind of stuff. And he said, sometimes the best thing you can do as a leader is to follow. And what he meant by that is exactly what you said, Chris. Not everybody is yay, rah, rah, you know, we're going to run through a brick wall. And Kawhi was the ultimate leader in the fact that he led by example. It's what you said. It's what I said. He put an entire organization on his back. He put an entire country on his back. And I just, you know, I don't know if this GM is speaking from a place of jealousy, stupidity. I don't know where it comes from, but I don't get the idea that he could be anything other. It makes no sense to me. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Is he saying that he wouldn't pay Kawhi max money, or he just because
no way he wouldn't pay Kawhi
exactly.
Max
money, I froze there because I'm sitting there thinking, what could he have possibly meant? Because if there were 30 teams in the NBA this year, and all 30 of them would have paid Kawhi any dollar amount that they could have to get him to the organization. So to me, it just makes no sense at all.
No question about it. And look, Kawhi Leonard. Part of why I'm so confident that the Clippers are going to be great is because Kawhi is just what this guy said.
Yes.
He's not vocal, just does it with his work ethic, does it by example. He's just going to go fit in. He's going to be great. He's going to be their best player. But he's going to fit in. Think of so many of the other superstars who bring, you know, more of a personality. They're more colorful. You have questions about them.
Of course.
Are they going to work with this guy? Are they going to work with this team? It's going to take them a long time to adjust. I think Kawhi is going to fit in swimmingly. Yes, swimmingly in the Clippers organization and locker room because of his personality. And Klay, look, Klay is similar. Now, he's not as good as Kawhi, but he's a great defender, two-way player just like Kawhi. I think, Aaron, one half of the greatest backcourt in NBA history. And so to say he's not a max player, again, kind of ridiculous.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, the ultimate compliment to a player is who else wants to play with him. And think about what Paul George did this summer to make right. that happen. Like he literally put his reputation on the line. He put his, I don't want to say he put his career on the line, but we'll never think of Paul George the same way again because in a lot of ways, he just bailed on Oklahoma City. And the point that I've made on all the shows that I've been on, including my own on Saturday nights, it's not as though Oklahoma City did not live up to their end of the bargain at all. Now, did they fall short? Yes, but they made the playoffs. They won 49 games in the regular season. It wasn't as though they won 22 games and Paul George was just looking for a life raft out of there. And so for Kawhi to convince that guy, hey, give up everything you're building. A year ago, you were smoking cigars with Nas at a party in Oklahoma City at midnight. Give all that up to come with me. I also saw, I don't know if you saw this, Chris, but at Summer League, I think it was Lou Williams and Patrick Beverley walking through a casino at, you know, 1:45 in the morning whenever they found out. They're doing, you know, jumping jacks and cartwheels in the casino at Summer League. And I think that's part of leadership, too. What do you get out of your teammates? What do you bring to the practice facility every day? But do guys want to play with you? I know it's something you and Rob talk about all the time. LeBron James, do guys want to play with him at this point in his career? I know you feel differently than Rob, but the point being, there is no doubt that guys want to be around Kawhi. I think that's the ultimate compliment to him.
I agree. And I think guys would want to play with Klay as well.
Yeah.
You know, this guy said he just shows up in hoops. I mean, you need guys like that. I don't need everybody to be in the team's business.
I agree.
I don't need everybody to feel like they've got something to say. You need guys, a few guys like that. Some guys that are rah-rah and talk all the time and want to say this and that. Some guys that might, you know, hold the coaching staff more accountable than other players. But at the same time, I need guys that are low maintenance.
Yep.
And that's what both of these guys are. Kawhi Leonard and Klay Thompson are probably the most low maintenance, off the top of my head, stars in the league.
100%. And Klay Thompson is what I said with Chris Beard a minute ago. Sometimes the best leaders lead by following, and that's Klay. Klay just comes in, does his job, whatever. I want to ask you real quick, because I was thinking about this when I was reading this article. I do think it's interesting, the concept of a max player, the face of a franchise, whatever. I think we get so caught up with, oh, so-and-so is a superstar, so-and-so is this. And the number of guys who really do kind of check all the boxes, I think, is actually smaller than what most people realize. All I heard all year, Kyrie Irving's a superstar. Well, they lost in the second round of the playoffs, and his team went further without him than with him. Ben Simmons, he can't shoot a three. How many guys do you think are actually true, either superstar, franchise players, difference makers? Because I do think that list, I will give the GMs and all them credit for this, is I do think that list is probably smaller than most fans want to give credit for.
No, I agree with that. Now, you have a ton of guys making max money that can't lead a team. It can't be the best player on a really good team.
Yep.
Okay, with all due respect, Tobias Harris, he's not going to be your best player on a championship team.
Chris Middleton.
Yep. You know, I mean, Chandler Parsons, for goodness sake, got two max contracts during his career.
What a life that guy has.
Right.
Huh?
I mean, charmed. He's the most blessed player in the league. I mean, I get that, and I'm with you on that. There are a lot of guys that don't deserve the max. They get it because of timing, circumstances, whatever it may be. D'Angelo Russell, not a max player, you know, but he got it. And so the problem with the article was them picking on Kawhi and Klay.
Sure.
That was where they went awry. But I get exactly what you're saying. Look, if you want to say a max player, the ultimate definition is a guy who can be the best player on a championship team? How many guys do we have in the league right now that have proven that? You got Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. Now, some people might say KD, because he was obviously the best player in Golden State. My only thing with that is I would say that team was so stacked.
Sure.
That, you know what I mean? Like, you could have put a number of guys in that position, not to take anything away from KD, and those teams would have won those titles. When he was in Oklahoma City, he didn't lead that team to a championship as close as they got. Now he'll have his chance in Brooklyn. We'll see if he can do it there. But really, you're really talking about three guys who have absolutely proven it. So, you know, I think these guys, and remember this about the Max, Aaron, it's not what these guys are worth or what at least the top superstars are worth. There's a cap on it. LeBron James should not be making the same amount of money as Damian Lillard.
Great point, yep.